Previously on the Social Proof Podcast.
I got a thing that I do, and I teach people. If there's three levels. There's a 0% chance, there's a 50% chance, and there's a 100% chance. If I told you, if you got one coin, and if you put it down on one of these three, there's a 0% chance, the prize, 100,000. There's a 50% chance, prize, 50,000. There's a 100% chance, prize, 10,000. If you got one chip, if you put it over here, your 100% chance you're going to win. Put it here, 50% chance you're going to win. You put it here, there's a 0% chance you're going to win. I always ask, I draw the map. I say, here's your one coin. Where do you place it? 90% of people put it on 100% chance. Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, I win 100%. I'm guaranteed to win.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to win that 100%? Nothing. Nothing. They say, but I said, why don't you do the 50 or the 100 or the zero? And I might lose, and there's no way I'm going to win. And I say to you, what is the likelihood of this guy that we're talking about sitting in prison, gang member, criminal, psychopath, making it to Harvard? 0%. Mm-hmm. But I did it. Yeah. What is the chance or the odds of that same guy making it to the White House? 0. But I did it. What is the chance of that same guy being accepted and joining a multi-million-dollar CEO network in the country, in the world? I did it. What is the odds of that guy being office manager for the number one mastermind group in the world, Genius Network? 0. But I did it. So 0% is a trick. It works. Nothing exists before it existed. What were the odds of 1975, somebody telling you have a phone that you can text somebody in China with instantaneously? Mm-hmm. You just said 0%. Steve Jobs didn't believe. Steve Jobs didn't believe it. What were the odds of a self-driving car 20 years ago? 0. Elon Musk didn't believe.
Yeah. So what was the activity? Because we still got 8 more years of the story.
The short story is, in the 8 years, I went back to school, taught myself how to read.
While you were in?
While in prison. Yep. In segregation. I was in solitary. Went back to school, went to counseling, went to therapy. I had mental health issues, y'all, just for the record. So I just went and got for the next 8 years of my life, I taught myself the law, reversed some cases on appeal. For the next 8 years, I worked 20 hours a day. 20 hours a day.
One day made it, like, it changed the course for the next 8. One day, one idea.
You remember the day you met your wife?
Yeah.
Changed the rest of your life, didn't it?
Done.
You get it. Wow. Rest of your life has changed, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Remember the day you met her?
Absolutely.
Where are you now?
In marital bliss, boo.
So, people are like, how did you do that? The same way anything else happened. You met her one day, you're like, wow. And it hits you one day. You might have saw her a couple times. One day, like, I want her. I need to be with her. She needs to be. You had that thought in your mind that you went about everything you had to do, taking her to dinner, buying her flowers, make sure you get the right amount of cologne on, presenting yourself in the right way, praying more. Whatever you needed to do, you did. Mm. And now that you're married, you have to do twice as much.
Oh, for sure.
But when you had that concept of, I want to marry this woman, you went into nonstop 24-hour thinking.
Yeah. Did people treat you differently with this new Dre? Did they like try you more or?
Did your friends treat you differently when you decided you wanted one woman in your life and nobody
else?
Absolutely. Exactly. They're like, wait, come on, Dad, let's go to the club. Yo, let's go over here. You're like, nah, I'm focused. I used to have free time to do stuff like that. Now that 20 hours or 10 hours a week that I've been wasting on nothingness, I'm putting towards this woman. Because there's a benefit in the future in that. There's no future in this.
Sure.
But your friends still go do stuff that's not going to produce anything.
Yeah.
And you're not mad at them for still doing it. You just don't do it with them anymore.
Right.
So when I changed my life, people weren't upset at me. They actually saw that there was more space for them. Mm-hmm. So I gave away the drug dealing. I gave away all the extra stuff. And I focused on me. Mm-hmm. I didn't get, hey, yeah, y'all can have all this. They're like, what? He's crazy. He's going to let us have all the drug profits. He's going to let us have all the extortion profits. He doesn't want this anymore. Dre went crazy. That was the word. Mm. Word in prison was Dre, the crazy Dre went crazy. Psychopathic Dre has gone crazy.
Wow.
Because he no longer wants to participate in illegal money gaining stuff.
Right. So you've been changing over the next 8 years. Walk me through the first, I'm talking about like the day you wake up that morning and like this is your day to be released?
I got my parole in April of 1999, and the Department of Corrections refused to release me. They told the parole board we would not release this.
Because in what? Oh, yeah. And we fast forward past a lot of stuff because you were only supposed to be in for 11.
11.
But you did something
14. During the first 6 years, I caught two attempted murder cases. But when I finally made parole, I maxed out my first sentence at 10. Then I did almost four in the next one. But when I got to the parole, I made parole. When I made parole, the Department of Corrections never thought it was possible.
Make parole, what do you mean exactly?
You go before a hearings board, and there's like three people, and they decide should you be let out early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to convey to them, I'm remorseful, I'm accountable, I have a plan, I have a strategy, I have support. And they look at all that, and they say, okay, cool, you can go home, and you can't. Mm-hmm. So I went, and they said, okay, you can go home. The Department of Corrections, which houses us, says, not this one. You can't have him. We're not agreeing to this. They had no dog in the fight. Their job is carrying custody. Their job is not release.
Even though they've seen that over the last 8 years?
Doesn't matter. I tell you this here, never cheat on your wife, because she'll never forget. She might forgive you, but she'll never forget. And you won't forget. You'll forever change your relationship.
Yeah, you put them through so much.
I earned that. And he just picked my name out of a hat.
Right.
For the long story short, I had to fight with the Department of Corrections for 6 months to actually get my release. So November 15th, I wake up. It's my day.
Yeah.
We go out on the yard at 8 o'clock after count. And at 8:30, they start calling names over the loudspeaker. And you walk to the gate and you leave. 8:30, they called all the names. They didn't call me. I'm like, what? Again? They said, no, we're letting you go home after the next count. Last jab, you know?
Just out of spite.
Out of spite. But I took it in stride. Mm-hmm. I earned it. So you can't cause grief to people and wonder why they want to bring it back to you.
Yeah.
I earned that. Yeah. So at 10:30, I walk out, get in the car, we drive to the parole office. Go in the parole office, I meet with my PO, and we have this little power struggle over when I'm getting off parole. And I got upset, she got upset, then anger management actually kicked in. Before, I would have had to been right then.
Right.
I need to be right now.
Right.
She's saying I get off in 3 years. I'm saying I get off in 18 months. We're trying to settle this right now. Mm. I said to myself, she said three. I said 18 months. I got 18 months to fix this. I don't have to fix this today. I said, no, something later, you're right. 3 years. But in my mind, I got 18 months to fix this.
Yeah.
So I walk out of there. It took about a month for the paperwork to get accurate. And I was right. And she called me back and said, Andre, you were right. It was 18 months. But had I continued on the path I was on, I was going right back to jail.
Yeah.
I was about to cuss her out and tear the office up to be right. And I'd have been back in the prison talking about, man, that lady tripped out on me. I had to show her I was right. And lo and behold, I was right, but right. I'm back in jail.
You'd be back at the 6-year drain, not the 8-year. We got two different drains, the 6-year drain. All right, so you walk out. What do you do?
I do the parole office. Then I get in the car. After I leave the parole office, the guy said, where you want to go? And there was a youth center I used to work with at the prison. They used to bring the kids up from the juvie center. I said, take me to the juvie center. I promised the kid, when I was in the program, I told the kids, I'm leaving the program because I'm going home. The kids were like, hey, will you come see us when you get out? Our program's right around the corner from where you live. So I said, yeah, I promised. So I told them, take me to the juvenile center. I went to the juvenile center. I walk in. The kids were like, oh, gee, what's up? They was all ecstatic. And I started talking to the kids. And I was happy to keep my promise. But what I found was that first ride to the parole office, second ride to the juvenile center, the world's moving. Mm-hmm. Everything's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. I've been moving at 2 miles an hour.
Right.
Prison is 2 miles an hour. The world is 1,000 miles.
Explain it, because you went in and...
I went in, there was no cell phones.
Right.
I went in, there was no internet. I went in, there was no white people in the hood. I went in, there was no talking cars. I can just keep going on the list. It was just a lot of stuff that didn't exist. And I went in, things were different. Stuff changed. And it was just a lot to take in. And so I go to the juvenile center, strange thing happens. It's a locked facility. They're locked up.
Right.
I felt comfortable in there because I understood the space. So what I would do is every day for like 5 or 6 hours, go volunteer at the juvenile center.
Because you would be locked in.
Because I'd be locked in. It was my decompression time. Everything's moving, fast, no quit, no stop. Pressure, let's go. And I'm used to moving at 2 miles an hour. I'm not ready for 1,000. So I would go to the juvie center every day, but I was locked in. There's no phones. There's no internet. There's no talking buses. There's no white
back
people
to
jogging. Back to what I'm used to. Yeah. I did that for like 3 or 4 months. And it was my safe zone for 6 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me, I knew that if I ever got stressed, I'd go to the juvie center and volunteer.
Primarily because you were locked in. That's
I love
deep,
the kid.
Bro.
I love the kids,
yeah, that's
but it
deep.
Was for me.
Yeah, that's deep.
Love the kids. And the crazy thing happened, because I'm going every day. I put me in a room, 35 kids. I tell them my life story. Grew up in the hood, went to prison, was a gangster, turned my life around, went to school, got out. Now I'm out here. I'm trying to do better. Clap, yo. I come back on Tuesday. Same 35 kids. Now what do I tell them? I come up with something else. Came back on Wednesday. Same 35 kids.
Right.
All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Came back on Thursday. Same 35 kids. So I learned by force to do more than just my personal story. Mm-hmm. I know so many people who say they're motivational speakers and have one story. I was that same guy. I had one story. 3 months in the juvenile center with the same kids, you learn to tell way better stories.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
My story is not that they become untrue or different, but you can't tell the rags to riches story. They heard it.
Right.
Now you have to learn how to break down hygiene stories, how to make it cool to wash up,
right.
How to be cool to go to school. How to be cool to pay attention to the staff. How to be, I had to come up with all kinds of stuff. I'm telling stories about why you should listen to your parents or why you should learn how to read or why you should learn about entrepreneurship. By the end of that 3 months, I was a master storyteller and didn't even know it.
Wow. So what about like that? Like, so this is like your home and you're passing your home that you were in for 14 years. So like, was there any type of, like, because you know, some people do want to go back, right? Did you ever have that feeling?
I didn't want to go back. There was probably like 5 times. It was probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Been home for a couple months. And you get homesick. Hmm. Or you just feel uneasy. I would get in my car. Unbeknownst to most people, most prisons are about an hour from where you live. I drove out to the prison. I sit up on the highway where I could see over the wall into the prison. I would sit there maybe an hour or two and just look at the prison. All my friends were in there. Everything I knew was in there. All my memories were in there. And I would just sit up on the prison in my car, looking over from the highway, looking over the wall into the prison. And I would just sit there. Some prisons are on a, this happened to be a highway was just sitting in a way where you could see over the wall from that particular point. I pull up on a little bridge and I just sit there. And I would look, and I knew who was where and what they were doing, and I know they were all asleep, and I was just like, yo, those are my folks. I missed them. And I understood that world. So I did that probably like 4 or 5 times.
Wow. It's like being in a toxic relationship. You break up with them, but you still scroll through the Instagram.
Well, that's the millennial stuff. Trollers.
Just to see what's going on. Yeah.
I mean, so what happens is you have a girlfriend or you have a relationship, and it's 14 years long. When it ends,
matter how good or bad a relationship
is. It ends, yeah. My biggest thing with not smoking, I quit smoking. I smoke cigarettes. The hardest part for quitting smoking, know what it was? Know what to do with my hand. my hand was programmed to do this. I kid you not. What to do with my hand? I was so used to doing this all day. When I stopped smoking, it's like my hand was just like out of joint.
Right.
What do I do with my hand? So I had to find something else to do with my hand. So what do? You put food in your hand. You start eating. So you do the same thing. Now you just put something else in your mouth.
Right, right.
Yeah, but
so you got to to replace a bad habit. I mean, to get rid of a bad habit, you got to replace it with something. Not just saying, yo, I'm going to quit.
You can't quit. Something's going to fill that space. And if you don't direct it, it'll direct itself.
Wow. So you start getting your bearings right. How long did it take you to make your first million?
Probably, I got out in November.
99. And congratulations, we just celebrated your 20-year
anniversary.
Anniversary.
November 1999, I got out. This is November 2019. Mm-hmm. 20 years I've been doing this.
Wow.
20 years. I don't know the exact, I didn't count the first M, but I ended up with a company. And over the first 4 years, I worked there. From 2000 to 2004, we did $25 million.
Doing what? did you use some of your old 6-year Dre ingenuity?
I'm only one person.
Right.
You see, I'm only one person. But no, it was a nonprofit and kind of like a church setting, and we did outreach. And I didn't understand the business of bad lives, the business of corrections, the business of gangs.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're out in the street making money, selling drugs or shooting people or wearing colors. There are people making money off you making money.
Mm.
If I'm an insurance company, I love you.
Right.
Break in another car, shoot another house out. I'm saying, burn down another store.
Right.
You're driving up insurance rates.
Right.
So if I'm an insurance company, I love gang members. Please come more because you're driving up everybody's insurance cost. Everybody in the hood pays some kind of insurance on their car, on their house, on their business, or whatever. So all the insurance companies can charge more in the hood than they can in the suburbs. So the insurance companies love criminality. It benefits them. But nobody ever thinks that there's an insurance company. You see all these commercials on TV, get this insurance, that insurance. You never think that they understand that in the inner city where there's high crime, this do this. Go to whatever, I don't want to put anybody on blast, go to any insurance company and say you live in the hood. Give them the zip code. Tell them you got a 2019 Mazda. What is insurance for this car in this hood? Then do the same thing in the suburbs. Pick a suburban town 20, 30 miles away where there's no crime, no black people. And check this insurance rate on the same car. Guarantee you it's almost double.
Wow.
Do the same. You go to the grocery store. Pick up a can of beans. It's $1 in the suburbs. It's $1.25 in the hood. Everything's more. Insurance. The store costs. You open the store. What does the store insurance cost? What does liability cost? So the insurance companies make extremely more money dealing with inner cities.
Unbelievable.
Nobody ever thinks about that.
So how did you start in like business of making money? And like what was your first? Obviously, you helped the organization make $25 million. Did you not get a bunch
of that? I spent a bunch of that.
Huh?
Did I what?
You got
what? What? Anybody know me from 2000 to 2004? I used to drive a new car every day. 3 times a day.
What were you doing? What did you do?
For work or for the cars?
What was your means of income?
My means of income, we ran a nonprofit. The nonprofit was geared towards helping violence reduction.
Okay.
So nobody wants kids being shot. Nobody wants people going to jail. Nobody wants their kids to flunk out of school. So we put together a team of ex-offenders, guys, gangsters who've been in jail, and we'd come talk to them kids because we were them 20 years ago. We were them. We're their big brother's best friend. We're the guys your big brother looks up to.
Right, right.
We're the guys. I originally got the originators of every gang in Boston. There's all the different gangs. I got the guy who came up with the name. Mm. So BMF, I would go get Meech. Right. You know what I'm saying?
What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th. Two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off. But if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
Gangsta Disciples, you go get who? You know what I'm saying? Crips, you go get Tukey and Mr. Washington, right? So I got, for Boston, the originators of every gang. Put them in one room and said, listen, this is what we're going to do.
Ooh.
Now, there's an article. Anything I say out of my mouth is online. There's an article, Henri Norman, Gangster Turns Life Around. And it'll say in the article that I pulled together 65 people. And we had this meeting, and out of that, a core of 15 came. It's 25 million online.
Ooh.
Anything I say out of my mouth is online. If it's not online, I don't even bother to say it. So I used to be a mentor for Major League Baseball online. Sports Illustrated did an article on me. So if you can't believe Sports Illustrated, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
But the baseline is we would do gang interventions, crime interventions, and those things. So take a school district. I was just in Dallas. There's 154,000 kids in Dallas public schools. The average school kid costs $10,000 a year. So you tell me what's 10,000 times 154,000. And that's the budget for Dallas Public Schools.
Mm.
People don't understand the business of education. Public school is a business. So you take a school district with 50,000 kids in it, multiply it times 10,000. And that's the annual budget. You can just go, you can go to Google right now, put in Baltimore City public school annual cost of kid. It's always between 8 and 12,000. Any city.
Wow.
Low 8, high 12.
Mm.
You see a public school building with 100 kids in it, I see a building with 100 times 10,000.
Right. Mm.
That's what I'm seeing. So
right.
Now you have this 100 kids in your building. If 20% are dropping out, what's 20 times 10,000?
A lot.
That's a lot of money.
A whole lot of bread.
So when I go speak to the principal, those are the conversations. People look at, this is classic. I remember when I was a kid, my sisters went on a school college tour. It was like the black college tour. They took all the high school kids, put them on a bus. They drive them down to Virginia, show them all the HBCUs. And everybody's doing bakeries and soup cells. And let's raise money and send our black kids to school.
Right.
I watched that for years. I didn't qualify because I dropped out. But for years, it was always a big thing. That was like the first time you ever got really good to leave the hood was a black college tour.
Right.
So everybody knew about it. I see it drastically different. All this selling chicken plates to get me to go to college. If you go to a college right now, the average cost of a college is $40,000. So if you sign up, that school's going to make $40,000. Times four, it's $160,000 for you to go to that school.
Right.
So if I can bring you 10 kids at $160,000, that's $1.6 million over 4 years. I just brought you for bringing you 10 kids. Why the hell am I selling? Oh, excuse me. Why am I selling chicken plates to help you make $1.6 million?
Right.
They pay people to recruit students.
Right.
But we pay to send our kids. We got it backwards. People are doing it backwards. I go to a college and I say, what is it worth you for me to bring you 20 students? What is the dollar figure that you will make if I deliver you 20 students? Mm-hmm. They'll say $3.2 million. Okay, if I bring you that, how much do I get? I bring you $3.2 million in revenue. What are you going to pay me?
Mm.
I'm so happy you're going to school. Dave. You're going to get an education. You're going to be the first in your family. Yeah, man, listen, they're doing business.
Right.
Colleges are doing business. We're doing charity.
Right.
Well, no. I'm doing business.
Right.
I walk in a room. I'm looking for the business angle. I'm looking for, where's the money being made? I mean, I want you to go to school, but the discussion my aunt would have had was how much stuff does she have to sell, how many plays, how many fundraisers to get you in school? Mm-hmm. And she ain't getting nothing for all her efforts. She's just get a good feeling that she got you there.
Yeah.
I'm walking to the university saying, listen, how much you charge to go here? And what does it cost over 4 years? Mm-hmm. And what is the legacy? The legacy avenue is your brothers and sisters.
Right.
So if you go to a school, there's a good chance your brothers and sisters will go. So I'm going to bring you 10, which is 1.6. Plus, you're probably going to get at least another 3 to 5 on a legacy piece. So that's another, I'm saying, 800,000. Yeah. So we're looking at 3.2 million, just me bringing you 10 kids. What are you paying me out of that? If I bring you $3 million worth of revenue to your business, you're going to give me money, right?
For sure.
So why would you think the colleges don't pay? We just don't ask.
To listen to or watch this full episode, be sure to check out the Social Proof Podcast on your favorite listening platform or on YouTube.
Finally, you asked for it, and we created a Patreon, okay? We created an inner circle. We have amazing stories, amazing information, how-tos from the episodes. The only thing we're missing is a community. So it's about that time. We put together our Patreon. We put together our community because we have to have conversation around the information. So even this podcast we're listening to right now, there needs to be conversation. I want to hear what you got. Like, let's throw some stuff back and forth. And because we're like-minded, we're all going in the same direction. When we connect in a community, we can connect on other stuff outside the community because we're building real relationships. Okay, so check out the Patreon. We got 3 tiers. I don't care what tier you join. The support is appreciated.
What if I told you for $1, I will introduce you to hundreds of entrepreneurs every single morning this week? From all across the country, you'll be able to talk to hundreds of entrepreneurs, and I'll coach you. I'll coach you for $1 this whole week, and I'll introduce you to some of my successful friends for $1 this week. Would you take part in that? Well, go to themorningmeetup.com because that's exactly what we're doing here, okay? The only organization that gathers entrepreneurs every single day for the betterment of entrepreneurship, okay? Every single day, Monday through Friday, we gather, we're growing, we're learning. We got a book club. Have you ever seen hundreds of entrepreneurs reading the same book every single chapter, every single day? We're growing together, okay? You need the environment to grow in. Themorningmeetup.com, $1. I'm going to give you all this for $1. If you want to stay, great. It's $79 a month after that. If not, no obligation. You can leave whenever you want. All right? TheMorningMeetup.com. I'll see you in the morning.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.